Purgatorio, Canto 10 by Dante Alighieri. When I had crossed the threshold of the gate, that, since the soul's aberrant love would make the crooked way seem straight, is seldom used, I heard the gate resound, and hearing, knew that it had shut. And if I'd turned toward it, how could my fault have found a fit excuse? Our upward pathway ran between cracked rocks. They seemed to sway in one, then the other part, just like a wave that flees, then doubles back. Here we shall need some ingenuity, my guide warned me, as both of us draw near this side or that side where the rock wall veers. This made our steps so slow and hesitant that the declining moon had reached its bed to sink back into rest before we had made our way through that needle's eye. But when we were released from it, in open space above, at a place where the slope retreats, I was exhausted. With the two of us uncertain on our way, we halted on a plateau lonelier than desert paths. The distance from its edge, which rims the void, into the base of the steep slope, which climbs and climbs, would measure three times one man's body, and for as far as my sight took its flight, now to the left, now to the right, hand side, that terrace seemed to me equally wide. There, we had yet to let our feet advance, when I discovered that the bordering bank, less sheer than banks of other terraces, was of white marble and adorned with carvings so accurate, not only Polycletus, but even nature there would feel defeated. The angel who reached earth with the decree of that peace which, for many years, had been invoked with tears, the peace that opened heaven after long interdict, appeared before us, his gracious action carved with such precision. He did not seem to be a silent image. One would have sworn that he was saying Ave, for in that scene there was the effigy of one who had turned the key that had unlocked the highest love, and in her stance there were impressed these words, Ecce Ancilla Dei, precisely like a figure stamped in wax. Your mind must not attend to just one part, the gentle master said. He had me on the side of him where people have their heart. At this, I turned my face and saw beyond the form of Mary, on the side where stood the one who guided me. Another story engraved upon the rock. Therefore, I moved past Virgil and drew close to it so that the scene before my eyes was more distinct. There, carved in that same marble, were the cart and oxen as they drew the sacred ark, which makes men now fear tasks not in their charge. People were shown in front, and all that group, divided into seven choirs, made two of my senses speak. One sense said no. The other said, yes, they do sing. Just so, about the incense smoke shown there, my nose and eyes contended too with yes and no. And the humble psalmist went before the sacred vessel, dancing, lifting up his robe. He was both less and more than king. Facing that scene, and shone as at the window of a great palace, Michael watched, as would a woman full of scorn and suffering. To look more closely at another carving, which I saw gleaming white beyond Michael, my feet moved past the point where I had stood. And there the noble action of a Roman prince was presented, he whose worth had urged on Gregory to his great victory. I mean the Emperor Trajan, and a poor widow who was near his bridal. She stood even as one in tears and sadness would. Around him, horsemen seemed to press and crowd. Above their heads, on golden banners, eagles were represented, moving in the wind. Among that crowd, the miserable woman seemed to be saying, "Lord, avenge me for the slaying of my son. My heart is broken." And he was answering, "Wait now, until I have returned." And she, as one in whom grief presses urgently, "And Lord, if you do not return?" And he, "The one who'll be in my place will perform it for you." She, "What good can others' goodness do for you if you neglect your own?" He, "Be consoled. My duty shall be done before I go. So justice asks, so mercy makes me stay." This was the speech made visible by one within whose sight no thing is new. But we, who lack its likeness here, find novelty. While I took much delight in witnessing these effigies of true humility, dear too to see because he was their maker, the poet murmured, "See the multitude advancing, though with slow steps on this side, they will direct us to the higher stairs." My eyes, which had been satisfied in seeking new sights, a thing for which they long, did not delay in turning toward him. But I would not have you, reader, be deflected from your good resolve by hearing from me now how God would have us pay the debt we owe. Don't dwell upon the form of punishment. Consider what comes after that. At worst, it cannot last beyond the final judgment. "Master," I said, "what I see moving toward us does not appear to me like people, but I can't tell what is there. My sight's bewildered." And he to me, "Whatever makes them suffer their heavy torment bends them to the ground. At first, I was unsure of what they were. But look intently there, and let your eyes unravel what's beneath those stones. You can already see what penalty strikes each." O Christians, arrogant, exhausted, wretched, whose intellects are sick and cannot see, who place your confidence in backward steps, do you not know that we are worms, and born to form the angelic butterfly that soars without defenses to confront his judgment? Why does your mind presume to flight when you are still like the imperfect grub, the worm before it has attained its final form? Just as one sees at times, as corbel for support of ceiling or of roof, a figure with knees drawn up into its chest, and this oppressiveness, unreal, gives rise to real distress in him who watches it, such was the state of those I saw when I looked hard. They were indeed bent down. Some less, some more, according to the weights their backs now bore. And even he whose aspect showed most patience, in tears appeared to say, "I can no more."
Canto decimo. Poi fummo dentro al soglio della porta che il malamor dell'anime di Susa, perché fa parer dritta la via torta, sonandola sentì esser richiusa. E se io avesse gli occhi volti ad essa, qual fora stata al fallo degna scusa? Noi salavam per una pietra fessa, che si muoveva ed una e d'altra parte, sì come l'onda che fugge e s'appressa. Qui si conviene usare un poco d'arte, cominciò il duca mio, in accostarsi, or quinci or quindi, al lato che si parte. E questo fece i nostri passi scarsi, tanto che pria lo scemo della luna rigiunse al letto suo per ricorcarsi che noi fossimo fuor di quella cruna. Ma quando fummo liberi e aperti su, dove il monte indietro si rauna, io stancato e amendui incerti di nostra via, restammo in su un piano solingo più che strade per diserti. Dalla sua sponda, ove confina il vano, al piè dell'alta ripa che pur sale, misurrebbe in tre volte un corpo umano, e quanto l'occhio mio poter trardare, or dal sinistro e or dal destro fianco, questa cornice mi parea cotale. Lassù non eran mossi i piè nostri anco, quando io conobbi quella ripa intorno che dritto di salita aveva manco, esser di marmo candido e adorno d'intagli sì, che non pur Policleto, ma la natura lì avrebbe scorno. L'angel che venne in terra col decreto della molt'anni lagrimata pace, che aperse il ciel del suo lungo divieto, dinanzi a noi pareva sì verace, quivi intagliato in un atto soave, che non sembiava immagine che tace. Giurato si saria che il dicesse ave, perché i vera immaginata quella ch'ad aprir l'alto amor volse la chiave e avea in atto impressa esta favella ecce ancilla dei propriamente come figura in cera si suggella. Non tener pur ad un loco la mente, disse il dolce maestro, che m'avea da quella parte onde il cuore alla gente. Perché mi mossi col viso e vedea di retro da Maria, da quella costa onde m'era colui che mi muovea, un'altra storia nella roccia imposta. Perché io varcai Virgilio e femi presso a ciò che fosse agli occhi miei disposta. Era intagliato lì nel marmo stesso lo carro e i buoi, traendo l'arca santa perché si teme ufficio non commesso. Dinanzi parea gente, e tutta quanta, partita in sette cori, a due miei sensi faceva dir l'un no, l'altro sì canta. Similemente al fumo degli incensi che v'era immaginato, gli occhi e il naso, e al sì e al no discordi fensi. Lì precedeva al benedetto vaso, trescando alzato, l'ubile salmista, e più e men che re era in quel caso. Di contra, effigiata ad una vista d'un gran palazzo, Micola ammirava sì come donna dispettosa e trista. I mossi i piè del loco dov'io stava, per avvisar da presso un'altra istoria che di dietro a Micol mi biancheggiava. Qui v'era storiata l'alta gloria del roman principato, il cui valore mosse Gregorio alla sua gran vittoria. I dico di Traiano imperatore, e una vedovella li era al freno di lagrime atteggiata e di dolore. Intorno a lui parea calcato e pieno di cavalieri, e l'aguglie nell'oro sovressi in vista al vento si movieno. La miserella, intra tutti costoro, pareva dir: «Signor, fammi vendetta di mio figliol che è morto, ond'io m'accoro». Ed egli a lei rispondere: ora aspetta tanto chi torni. E quella: signor mio, come persona in cui dolor s'affretta, se tu non torni. Ed ei: chi fia dov'io la ti farà? Ed ella: l'altrui bene a te che fia, se il tuo metti in oblio. Ond'egli: or ti conforta che convene chi solva il mio dovere anzi chi mova. Giustizia vuole e pietà mi ritene. Colui che mai non vide cosa nova produsse esto visibile parlare, novello a noi, perché qui non si trova. Mentre io mi dilettava di guardare l'immagine di tante umilitadi e per lo fabbro loro a veder care, ecco di qua ma fanno i passi radi, mormorava il poeta, molte genti, questi ne invieranno agli alti gradi. Gli occhi miei camirare eran contenti per veder novitadi onde son vaghi, volgendosi ver lui non furon lenti. Non vo però, lettor, che tu ti smaghi di buon proponimento per udire come Dio vuol che il debito si paghi. Non attender la forma del martire, pensa la successione, pensa ch'al peggio, oltre la gran sentenza, non può ire. Io cominciai: «Maestro, quel che io veggio muovere a noi non mi sembia persone, e non so che, sì nel veder vaneggio». Ed egli a me: «La grave condizione di lor tormento a terra li rannicchia, sì che miei occhi pria nebber tencione. Ma guarda fiso là e disviticchia col viso quel che vien sotto a quei sassi, già scorger puoi come ciascun si picchia. O superbi cristian, miseri lassi, che della vista della mente infermi fidanza avete nei retrosi passi, non v'accorgete voi che noi siam vermi nati a formar l'angelica farfalla che vola la giustizia senza schermi? Di che l'animo vostro in alto galla, poi siete quasi automata in difetto, sì come vermo in cui formazion falla? Come per sostentar solaio o tetto, per mensola talvolta una figura si vede giugner le ginocchia al petto, la qual fa del non ver vera rancura nascere in chi la vede? Così fatti vid'io color quando posi ben cura. Vero è che più e meno eran contratti secondo ch'avien più e meno addosso, e qual più pazienza avea negli atti, piangendo parea dicer: più non posso.